Book 3. All Orc and No Prey. "Are you sure," Tinnituvial said, "that this is a good idea?" The goblin army, 40,000 strong, was camped out on the plain. 10,000 black tents stood in ruler straight rows, like in a field of nightmare cabbages, while from 1,000 campfires thin plumes of smoke rose up into the eerily still air, and 1,000 cauldrons gave off the thick, stifling aroma of goblin military cuisine. Troll pie, dissident tikka masala, and sweet and sour orc.
"It's got to be done," Mordak said firmly, as he nibbled listlessly at a spare rib. "Condition 3. The children of Fleur will leave the Golden Land and pass through the Gate of Flower and Eggs and occupy the high places and the low places and the Seat of Seeing, right? You reckon these new humans are the children of Fleur? So they've got to go."
Picking a fight with people you know nothing about, armed with impressive high-technology weapons.
There's 40,000 of us, and a handful of them," Mordak said grimly. "First, we ask them nicely. Piss off or we do you. Hopefully that'll be that. Otherwise," he shrugged. "It's okay," he said. "We're used to being slaughtered like sheep. We take it on the chin and move on. Today is a good day to die and all that crap. It'll be fine."
Contempt and respect don't usually work and play nicely together, but they were strangely blended in the look she gave him. "This is just so goblin," she said. "Still, far be it from me to interfere with deeply rooted cultural mores."
"Fine. So what would you do?"
"Diplomacy," she said firmly. "Backed up by dumping a few dead goats in their water supply. But know, if your heart is set on playing soldiers, you go right ahead."
"It's our way," Mordak said simply. "We believe that warriors who die gloriously in battle, sword in hand, striking a blow for goblin kind against the common enemy, are eventually, after 12 cycles of the wheel, reborn as termites."
"Termites? That's so..."
"You don't want to know what goblins who don't die in battle get reborn as. Suffice to say, the lads are up for it, motivated, ready for a crack at Johnny Human. Of course, the overwhelming odds in our favour helps a bit."
Tinnituvial wasn't listening.
"Who's that?" she said.
Climbing slowly down the winding track that led down the side of the mountain were two tiny figures. As they drew closer, Mordak could make out a white flag.
"Told you," he said, trying not to let the relief show. "They've come to surrender."
"Don't bank on it," Tinnituvial said.
"Could be they're going to give you one last chance to go home before they charge."
They proved to be humans. One was a little man in a brown coat and a curious flat-topped cap. He looked to be very old, though he hobbled along surprisingly quickly. The other was hardly more than a boy, very tall and impossibly skinny. He was carrying the white flag and eating a large slice of pizza.
"Excuse me," the old man said. "Sir, miss, would you happen to know where I can find King Mordak?"
"That's me. Who are you?"
"Herald, sir. On behalf of the ladies and gents in the new estates, back up over the hill."
He studied the goblin camp for a moment, then nodded approvingly.
Fine armour you got there, sir. Very fine indeed. Reminds me of when I was in the service. 40 years in the supply corps. Happy days. Oh, this is my nephew, Art. Say hello to His Majesty, Art.
The boy nodded and carried on chewing.
Herald,
Mordack reminded him.
Excuse me, sir?
Oh, yes. Art and me. We're here on behalf of the newly arrived community. Couldn't help noticing, sir, not meaning to be nosy. All these soldiers.
Mordack nodded grimly.
Tell your people, he said. They've got 24 hours to go back where they came from. Otherwise...
He paused, assuming clarification was unnecessary. But the old man just blinked at him.
Otherwise, sir?
We kill the lot of them. Sorry, Mordack added. But there it is. Go or die, their choice.
That seemed to make the old man very sad. He turned and whispered something to the boy, who nodded and ate a cheese sandwich.
With respect, sir,
the old man said. And Art and me, we can see absolutely where you're coming from. Strong arguments on both sides, not in any way wanting to imply there's anything wrong with your position. Nothing like that. But you can't do that, sir. Sorry.
The bristles on the back of Mordack's neck were chafing against the iron bands of his gorget. They did that sometimes, though usually only when he was nervous about something.
You know what? He said. I rather think I can.
Sorry, sir, the old man repeated. But I don't think we can let you.
Pardon me, that is. More than our job's worth, if you see what I mean. You're going to stop us. You and the bottomless pit over there.
The old man frowned, and the boy glared at Mordack as he unwrapped a fruit scone.
Yes, sir, the old man said. And please don't say things like that where the boy can hear you. He's sensitive, gets upset easily, brings on his allergy. So, if you wouldn't mind,
let's get this absolutely straight, Mordack said. You two are going to stop us.
Oh, I do hope not, sir. Greatest respect for you personally, sir. All these splendid reforms you've been doing lately. Crying shame if all that was to come to an end before you'd had a chance to carry it through. May I just say, sir, we're both great fans of yours. Art and me, Art especially, and your son. We really admire your guts and vision and yes, we can attitude.
But you're going to stop me, you and him.
Yes, sir, if we got to.
Mordack looked at him, and then at the boy, who was nibbling the chocolate off a mini Swiss roll.
Don't go away, he said. I'll be right back.
Tinnituvial was sitting on a rock, picking the petals off a rare moorland orchid.
Well?
Mordack lowered his voice.
Those two.
What about them?
I don't know. They seem harmless enough.
There you are, then.
Yes, but I don't like it. If you were a small, vulnerable settlement, and you happen to notice a vast horde of goblins bearing down on you, are they what you'd choose to hold the line against the darkness?
She frowned.
Probably not, no. But bear in mind this is humans we're talking about.
You're the one who keeps banging on about how well armed they are.
I suspect they may be trying to lull you into a true sense of security.
I don't know, Mordack repeated. I have a really bad feeling.
Then don't eat so many candied toenails.
He shrugged and tramped back up the hill.
23 3/4 hours now, he said. I suggest you tell your people to start packing. The old man sighed.
Maybe if you and the young lady could spare a few minutes, he said sadly. There's something that maybe you ought to see.
Those damned bristles again. He could hear them scratching his armour. What?
Much simpler to show you than try and explain. Come on, sir, it's only a few yards up the hill.
The old man did look very old indeed. But Mordack found he had to trot to keep up with him, which was no fun with such a steep gradient, while Tinnituvial gave up trying and trudged slowly along the path he'd gouged through the heather.
Yes, sir, 40 years in the military, time of my life, until I decided it was time to try my luck on Civvy Street. So, me and the boy, we set up our own private security agency. And I have to say, we've been going great guns ever since, no pun intended. Great guns.
What's a... Eventually they reached a small plateau, where Mordack saw a row of steel plates sitting on wooden stands. Like easels. The plates were about 2 feet square and half an inch thick.
Just for demonstration purposes, you understand, the old man called back over his shoulder. No, they're not. No, not so fast. Got to tell the gentleman and lady what they're looking at first.
The boy was sitting down on a low stool, eating a ham and cheese baguette. In front of him was a sort of tripod arrangement, on which sat a weird-looking thing. A rectangular box fitted to the back of a thick-ribbed tube, with a sort of spout thing sticking out the end. Hanging from a small opening in the side of the metal rectangle was a canvas belt, into which were stuck a lot of tiny brass bottles, each one with a long copper stopper, or bung, pointy as an elf's ear.
Wouldn't stand there if I was you, sir, miss. Come over here by me, out of the way.
Mordack did as he was told.
What is that thing? That's a Vickers machine gun. Effective range 2,000 yards. Cyclic rate 500 rounds a minute. You don't see 'em about much these days, but this one's quite a nice one. All matching numbers, and they still got most of the original paintwork. All right, Art, let her rip.
The boy stuck the baguette between his teeth like a pirate's cutlass, rested his hands on 2 spade-type grips, and squeezed something. There was the most horrible noise, like someone banging very fast on an unsupported sheet of heavy tin with a sledgehammer. Empty, tiny bottles flew out of one side of the rectangular box and formed a little pyramid. The racket went on for about 15 seconds, which was a very long time in context. Then it stopped. The boy let go of the handles, reclaimed his baguette, and carried on eating. When Mordack had recovered from the shock, he glanced quickly around. Tinnituvial was on her knees, her hands clamped over her ears. Supersensitive hearing isn't always an unmixed blessing. He stared at the old man, who was flicking dust off the ribbed tube with a bit of yellow duster.
What the hell was all that about?
The old man smiled.
Come and have a look, he said.
The steel plates were a mess. If they'd been oak planks, you'd have diagnosed a century of intensive woodworm. Not so long ago, they'd been pristine. It took Mordack a moment or so to get his voice working.
What happened?
The old man's grin was faintly condescending.
Bit technical, sir. Just think of it as being hit by 150 invisible arrows shot from a bow so big that even a troll could lift it.
Doesn't really bear thinking about, sir, does it?
Mordack had to strain to hear him. That thing did all this. The old man nodded.
Now, he went on, from here to where your army is, sir, I make that about 1,700 yards. Of course, you could order all your brave goblins to charge up this hill, entirely within your rights there, you being the king and all, and I wouldn't doubt for a second they'd do it. A fine, well-disciplined army like that, a real credit to you, sir, if I may say so. Only, he paused, just for a moment. Don't suppose many of them would actually get here, if you follow me, sir. About 6 or 7, maybe, possibly a dozen. And that'd be a shame, sir, if you don't mind me saying so, a real shame.
Mordack licked his lips, which were strangely dry.
I don't suppose you'd consider... Sorry, sir, not for sale. Normally, I'd go a bit out of my way to oblige a fine gentleman like yourself, especially with all the good things you've been doing lately, the peace process and all. But the thing of it is, sir, it's not actually mine to sell. On loan, probably speaking. Young Art'd have my eye just for considering it.
Mordack nodded slowly.
Who did you say you work for?
Actually, sir, I didn't. Not allowed to, see?
He tapped the side of his nose with a gnarled finger.
Client confidentiality, sir. Very important in our line of business. If you haven't got the customer's trust, what I always say is, what have you got?
A large sum of money.
A look of genuine compassion glowed from behind the old man's finger-thick spectacle lenses.
If only it was that simple, sir. But it isn't, so there you go.
Now then, sir, if you wouldn't take exception to a word of well-meant advice from an old hand, one soldier to another like, if I was you, I'd get my men back where they belong, sir. Only it can be dead chilly in these mountains this time of year. Camping out, they could catch their death.
The boy was still sitting behind the terrible machine, eating digestive biscuits. Mordack hadn't noticed him move, but the spout of the machine had shifted slightly and was now directly in line with Mordack's head.
Eats a lot, doesn't he?
About the same for a normal boy's age, sir.
Growing lad, got to keep his strength up.
The old man frowned, just a little.
I really do think you ought to be heading back home now, sir. It's getting late.
It's not. It's later than you think, sir,
the old man said gravely.
Take care now.
Being careful to maintain eye contact, Mordack backed away until he felt something soft under his heel and heard a loud squeak.
Mind where you're going,
Tinnituvial said.
That's my toe.
Sorry. We're going now.
Did you see what that ghastly thing did to all those...
Yes. Wave goodbye to the nice gentleman.
What are you...
That's an order.
The old man waved back ever so nicely, and even the boy waggled his chunk of apple pie at them before swallowing it whole.
Who the hell were they?
She whispered in his ear as they edged backwards slowly down the hillside.
No idea, Mordack said.
I told you, didn't I? I said, I wouldn't be the least surprised if they had really powerful advanced weapons.
Yes, you did.
And I was right.
Yes, you were.
She looked around. A stray beam of sunlight flashed off the cylindrical part of the horrible machine. She shivered.
You know what? She said. I really wish I wasn't.